priorities right now, for no apparent reason. But that being said, despite that, Trans Day Remembrance was International Trans Day of Visibility. I'll get there in the end. Is more about spotlighting some of the challenges. We spoke before about how trans folks are usually significantly more educated, but they're under or unemployed. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke before about how when you survey homelessness populations, the number of folks who are trans or trans-identified is above the average. So they're overrepresented in homeless populations and so on and so forth. And the list goes on, you know, in terms of negative health outcomes, negative social outcomes, adversely overrepresented in the trans community. That was the point of the day, just being like, hey, these things happen. We're not sure why. Maybe we should try and do something so that trans folks aren't specifically targeted, isolated, and have some realistic supports. That's where it was. That's the sort of genesis of the day. And but with the politics evolving and that sort of confrontational politics that we find ourselves in now, things have got a bit rough. So the Vancouver Police Department is looking for witnesses for what have been called violent confrontations at the Trans Day of Visibility in Vancouver. So I believe it was the CBC has described it as a scuffle. Clearly, the CBC and the Vancouver Police have very different definitions of what they go by. What is the scuffle to the media is a violent confrontation to the police. But anyway, it was over at Grandview Park, if anyone is familiar with Vancouver well enough to be able to do that. Now, Vancouver Police did release two videos. I cannot play one of the videos on account of the atrocious language being hurled around at this rather violent moment. But I will give you a sense of the environment there on the second video. Let's see if we can get that going. Oh, you know what? I'm going to try and get it going with the mute of the actual video. Okay, let's try that again. Now, I think that one was that one certainly didn't have a trigger warning on it compared to the other one. At least one protester was thrown to the ground. There were multiple incidents where rally goers, according to the Vancouver Police Department, confronted a group of counter-protesters. There were about 75 to 100 people gathered at this event. Now, Vancouver police were there on site. The CBC was there on site. And lots of people witnessed this particular incidents. They've reached out to a victim who posted the video and invited them to respond. They have released images of two people in particular that they would like to interview. But I think the reason why I bring this up, because of course it is very concerning when, you know, scuffles slash violent confrontations break out at what really ought to be a rather innocuous awareness-raising event.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I find it incredibly disheartening that the politics on this has become so divisive that scuffles slash violent confrontations are now breaking out across the board.
Looking at the footage, because it's on repeat on the Vancouver Police website, the two protesters, the two people they're looking for seem to be from opposite sides of the picket line. So there's one individual who grabs somebody by the throat, and that individual is holding a rainbow flag and a trans flag, and the other person in the other video assaulted somebody who's holding a trans flag. So, I mean, it seems to be just civility in general is breaking down. And didn't it used to be that when you had two groups like this, they had to keep a certain distance apart so that this kind of thing wouldn't happen? I don't know. Like, I've seen protests before where the police are like, you can stand over there, you have the right to speak. You can stand over there, you have the right to speak. Keep X number of meters apart, don't touch each other, and everything will be fine. And that seems to have just flown out the window here. All the police are standing around.
Whatever happened to snarky placards? You know what I mean? Like you know, chanting things that almost rhyme and holding up placards that are illegible at 30 feet. Like, that is what I believe, you know, a protest is really about. But don't get me wrong here. These are folks who are have firmly held beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it seems to be reaching a bit of a fever pitch. And it's not just in Vancouver. So this past weekend, in Ottawa, actually, I don't know if you were aware of this, but the Ottawa Carlton District School Board, which is the public school board in Ottawa, nation's capital, they had a board meeting several months ago. I think we vaguely recalled it, and nowhere near on the agenda, somebody interrupts, sort of looking to speak on a topic, but then interjects talking about the ability for trans students to go and use the washroom of their identified gender. Mm-hmm. Now, important context here is, first of all, this is, you know, it's a high school. No one's actively, if anyone is actively policing the washrooms, I suspect it's to make sure that vapes aren't being vaped and TikToks aren't being toctic'd in these spaces. You know, they're not, you know, it's not the Gestapo. But we have an environment now. And in Ontario, the Human Rights Act of Ontario is pretty clear on this in terms of people being able to use the washroom for which they identify. So the law is written. The law is settled law. If you disagree with it, you can bring it up with the Ontario Provincial Legislature and look to have it changed there. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. And all of the schools in all of the province have to follow these same guidelines and the same law. That being said, a number of people took an opportunity on an unrelated topic at the Ottawa Carlton District School Board to protest the ability of trans people to use the washroom from which they identify. That meeting got shut down. This past weekend, there was a meeting to now address this issue, even though the school board has repeatedly stressed that they are simply following the law and their hands are effectively tied here by legislation and by court decisions that reaffirm that legislation. About 300 people showed up at the Ottawa Carlton District School Board meeting. Only 75 of them were able to get in. OCDSB had a metered process to avoid the room just becoming overwhelmed. It seemed to be a battleground of pride flags meets Bibles in the parking lot to the OCDSB meeting. But I bring it up because thankfully there was neither a scuffle nor a violent confrontation as far as been reported in Ottawa. But these sort of peaked debates are happening all over the place. And I wonder how we can encourage cooler heads to prevail.
Including hockey.
Yes, yes. Well, we can move on to that topic because that's been an interesting
I mean, as for cooler heads, one of the issues is that there is a general process, and this is I've seen everybody blaming it on absolutely everyone, but it seems to be just a general problem these days. Actually, what really kills me is when people blame this on Trump, and this problem predates the presence of Donald Trump by quite some time, and all roads leading back to him is just cheap. But there has been this sort of let's call it rhetorical strategy of sticking your fingers in your ears and just trying to yell louder than the other side. And that has been going on in many domains on all sides. I don't want to say both sides, because sometimes there's more than two angles on this, but you get this from all sides. You will listen to me or you will shut up. And that's not how you convince people. That's not how you win hearts and minds. I mean, it's kind of interesting that for some of the more critical places, like human rights issues in places like Uganda, people are sitting down and thinking out well-reasoned, well-argued evidence-driven standpoint. You know, here's where you're going to lose money. Here's where you benefit. Here's how society improves. Here's the ways that this is not useful, instead of just yelling at each other. And it has been this sort of, and a lot of people blame it on social media, that the idea of curated information, and that you watch something and then all of a sudden you're going to get fed similar things, and now you're in a bubble, and now you have a mindset. And of course, everybody who doesn't think like you must be stupid. And that's mm-hmm. that's just a human thing, that if you don't understand somebody else's point of view, your assumption is going to be that they're stupid or crazy. Not that they have different information from you, not that they have a different belief, not that they have a different personality or a different worldview, just that they're stupid or crazy and they must be corrected. Instead of just like sitting down and being like, okay, why do you believe what you believe? I don't think there's been a lot of that lately.
Mm. It reminds
and it's very
me,
frustrating.
It reminds me, I think it's Plato's cave. It's somebody's cave. It's the philosophical idea behind essentially an echo chamber. And it's this, I'm going to butcher my recollection. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, grade 12 philosophy. You're trying to recall mm-hmm. this example. But essentially, imagine you're at the bottom of a cave with your family, and out at the top of the cave, you can see shadows moving. And you were told that they are monsters, and therefore nobody leaves the cave because these shadow things are monsters. And but it's only when you leave and realize that it's, you know, the sun shifting a tree in the breeze that that you see that outside of your tunnel vision or cave vision, mm-hmm. that the world is very different. You know, but mm-hmm. I bring this up as an example because this is not a new philosophical idea. That what we're yep. struggling with now seems to be these echo chambers and these amplified groupthinks that are really struggling. Me and you do not always agree.
That's correct.
I don't know. Is it correct? That is remains to be seen. But we do sometimes disagree.
I hate your taste in hot sauces.
I hate your taste in politics, but that's...
Oh, why'd you have to go there?
That was a joke. I tolerate it, but that's... But no, it's the point is we can build connections and build joy. And I do want to kind of frame out this conversation.
But we also understand why each other believes what we believe. And even if we disagree with the conclusion, like there are things that you believe. I'm like, I don't agree with that, but I understand why you believe that. That makes sense to me that you believe that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. That's how you make peace. And really, we don't disagree on that much, really.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, the things we disagree on the most are the things that we agree on, but we disagree about why.
Yes.
those are usually when we have heated debates, which is weird. But anyway.
So I wanted to close out with a good story, a relatively mm-hmm. good story that came out of this past weekend. And that is from Prince Edward Island. Now, in PEI, about 200 people marched through Charlottetown, which I think is, what, like a four-minute walk? Like, it's, you know, it was... That's the whole of the island, essentially, mm-hmm. marched through Charlottetown in solidarity with the trans community that lives there. Members of that community wanted to have a walk to demonstrate that they exist in that community. Their friends and family showed up. Other people in the community was like, yeah, no, that sounds like a fun thing to do on a Saturday afternoon. And they joined in. Was mm-hmm. there was no scuffles. There was mm-hmm. no violent confrontations. There was no, violence of any kind. There were almost certainly people who disagreed.
Yeah.
But they just, you know, kept their opinions to themselves.
They stayed home and watched the hockey because they had better things to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You know, if you wanted to march down the street and advocate for, I don't know, increased funding for farmers so that it's less of a struggle to be able to get by, do that. Absolutely do that. You know, if you want to advocate for the rights of the child and be able to make your own decisions in ways that are appropriate to age, you know, absolutely do that. I think we can advocate for things that we believe in without bringing others down in scuffles or violent confrontations. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. Scuffles of violent confrontations.
Yes.
We'll go from there. So there are a couple of other Canadian news stories, but I think what we'll do is we'll take a small break here and we'll jump to the next track. This is Easier to Leave by The Pairs, and we shall be back just after this. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer medium. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Now, I did want to quickly mention that we do have an eye on Norwich, Ontario. Mm-hmm. They are in yet another debate as to whether or not to have pride flags. Last year, a gentleman that ended up doing community service as a result of his penchant for taking down and damaging and stealing and what have you, pride flags. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was caught and has done some community service to repay his debt to that community. But a local councilman there has suggested that maybe to avoid this happening again, maybe there will be no flags. Mm-hmm. No flags for anybody except for the province, the feds and the municipality. And obviously there are people in the community who disagree. It was like, well, you know, is it all or nothing? How about you just don't tear them down and burn them? That's also a solid approach to city flag policy.
We had this discussion last year as well, because one of the arguments is if you put up a flag for this community, that means you have to put up a flag for every community, which means you have to build more flagpoles. And then what if two communities want their flag up at the same time? Then what do you do if you don't have enough flagpoles? Like, blah, 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 the whole bunch of things. And then there's a bunch of communities who basically say the feds, the province, the municipality only.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to put any flags up in your own window, we will not stop you. Because really what this is about is official flagpoles and the those banner things that you hang flag poles from off of like streetlights.
It was the Norwich BIA, the Business Improvement Association, that had put up these pride flags, mm-hmm. and then half of them got torn down and damaged. Now, if the BIA and those local businesses around Pride, which is very colourful, fun times, mm-hmm. wants to put pride flags, I think they absolutely should be able to do that. And I think it is pretty reasonable. I feel like this is, I don't know what year we're in here, but mm-hmm. I feel like it is a reasonable assumption to not break the law, tear mm-hmm. down and damage the property that isn't yours. Like, I feel like if we just start there with basic law abiding, I think we're in a good place. I feel like that's a solid position to be in. But there we go. That's just my crazy.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Yeah,
My crazy take on it. Well, why don't we move to some hockey? Now, I am. It may surprise our listeners, but I am not the most avid hockey fan here. I'm not. I don't watch every game. But on this occasion, I err on the side of these hockey players that are choosing not to wear jerseys. In mm-hmm. particular, the Vancouver Canucks, that's the thing scrolled. The Vancouver Canucks, their forward, Andrei Kuzmenko, who is Russian and has family yes. in Russia, has opted not to wear or participate the warm-up ahead of the annual Pride game in Calgary. Now, the Canucks are going to be wearing a special Pride-themed jersey that was designed and created locally. Mm-hmm. It is very much a moment of encouragement in those communities. We're not going to dive too much into it. I think the Current by the CBC did a fantastic segment on this. But essentially, Andrei has decided not to participate, and I'm actually okay with that. I think that maybe we shouldn't be forcing people to wear Pride outfits, but yes. at the same time, I think as an institution, they need to demonstrate, because even surveys done as recently as a few months ago indicate that gay men are not comfortable in these changing rooms and on the ice necessarily until there's a culture shift. So there's still a need. Mm-hmm. But I think we can balance that need with institutional change, cultural change, and not necessarily pinning someone down and forcing a Pride uniform on top of them. You know, I think that there's a balance that can be found here.
Yeah, it's really interesting. There's always this assumption that we need to go top down. But when you look at things like hockey, like historically, hockey was kind of famously white middle class men's sport. But then you look at the minor leagues and you see a lot of indigenous hockey players, and you see a lot of non-white, non-indigenous hockey players as well in the minor leagues. And this is kind of a place where if you start from the bottom up and you encourage more diversity and more open doors in the minor leagues, which is easier to do, not to be cynical, but there's less money on the line, you have more freedom to do that sort of thing. And you do have teams. It depends on what province you're in and what minor league you're looking at. But there are minor leagues that are exclusively indigenous. And why not? Teams that are exclusively indigenous. And why not? You know, it's a local team. If you're from a reservation, all the locals are going to be from the reservation. It makes sense. So you could do really interesting things there. And a lot of the people in the major leagues come up through the minor leagues. So if it's easier to shift the culture in the minor leagues, because it's sort of like, you know, Iceland and New Zealand does interesting stuff with politics because they're tiny countries. It's easier to move. Mm. You could do that kind of strategy as well as bringing people up through the minor leagues and focusing on making the minors a more warm and friendly place, which they kind of are already anyway. There's plenty of Black Canadian hockey players already in the minor leagues and a couple in the major leagues, but they all started by having the minor leagues being more welcoming. So that old story of hockey as a white man's sport really started shifting from the bottom up. And I think having this sort of institutional top down wear the jersey or else, I don't think that's gonna win any hearts.
Well, I think that there's a role to play for the NHL and these teams to say, look, homophobia is frankly not accepted here, and I think everyone has made that very clear. And I think that there is also something to be said for changing that institutional mindset and essentially saying, like, look, this is, we are an accepting sport. But being an accepting sport includes if certain players choose in that moment not to wear a Pride jersey, especially if their family or their religion indicates that maybe that's not the best idea.
I think the jersey should be made available. Absolutely. And those who choose to wear them should be allowed to wear them. And to be fair, I think if you want to also release a special version that has like a black square for Black History Month, or if you want to do something for Women's Day, having something to do with like pink sleeves or something, like if you want to do the whole gambit, orange for various kinds of indigenous awareness kinds of I don't think there is an indigenous awareness thing during the hockey season. But I mean, whatever, you could just choose a day and do that. Make that available so that people can choose to opt into it instead of like, I don't know, why just Pride? I mean, that is something that's kind of weird, but if people opt into it and you can actually see that some people choose to wear it, that makes it look more welcoming because these are people doing it by choice, not by edict.
Well, there have been multiple surveys that have found that folks are not always comfortable to participate and join in with the sport. Mm-hmm. And these are efforts by the leagues to make things more inviting. You know, hockey is for everyone is really the mantra of this campaign. But I think it goes both ways. I don't think we should be forcing this young Russian man to wear a Pride jersey if he doesn't want to. And likewise, I think we should be making sure that those locker rooms are somewhere that everyone feels comfortable in. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for today. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. Oh, what are we listening to?
We're playing out with Sherry Harding's Don't Tell Me How to Feel. And I don't know if it's supposed to be said with that tone, but that's the name of the song, Don't Tell Me How to Feel by Sherry Harding. And I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, KSFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.